Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
We now enter into the very fascinating halachas of Shabbos candles. This is Siman Ayin Hay, the 75th chapter in the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. Let's jump straight in. We're going to look at five different concepts. The first is the candles of Shabbos. Number two is the bracha of the candles. Number three is who lights. Number four is the place to light. And then there's a few miscellaneous questions at the end. Let's jump straight into the top. First of all, the Torah commands us, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos, you should remember, commemorate the day of Shabbos. And that is the positive mitzvahs that relate to the mitzvah Shabbos. There are two components of the positive mitzvah Shabbos, and they are the kavod and oneg. Kavod is giving honor to Shabbos, which is usually done before Shabbos. And oneg is the enjoyment of Shabbos, which is usually done on Shabbos. The candles of Shabbos have components of both. So there's a preparation element to the light in the candles of Shabbos, and there's also an enjoyment of the light on Shabbos. So it has both zachar and it has both kavod and oneg, which are subcategories of zachar and yom Shabbos. And also, it provides an additional feature, what's called Shalom Bayis, that when the house is lit, one is able to enjoy Shabbos. When the house is not lit, one is going to have a lot of bumps and a lot of irritation, and therefore it'll be a much less enjoyable Shabbos. Okay, let's jump straight in. So we're going to look at a few basic questions, nine questions about the candles. First of all, when does candle lighting take place? So if you look at the actual Ketzer Shulchan Aruch, he seems to follow a different understanding of when specifically Shabbos falls. We do not today paskin like the way the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch paskins this way at all. The way we paskin is at sunset, the beginning of twilight, is when Ben HaShemoshos begins, and therefore Shabbos begins at the time of sunset. Therefore, we light candles, which is the acceptance of Shabbos, certainly for the women of the house, 18 minutes beforehand to have at least 18 minutes of Tosefa Shabbos, of extra Shabbos as well. That is 18 minutes before the sun is setting. How many candles should there be? So minimally there should be two, Zachar and Shamar. So every person who lights candles should always have two candles. But there's a mitzvah to have many candles. Some light 10, some light 7. Today there's a minhag for a woman of the house to light two candles plus one for each child which is blessed to join that family. How long should the candles last? So the candles should last long enough to be out through the duration of the meal, which is where the candles are. What type of candles should they be? So one should really spend money to buy good candles. Rav Huna teaches us in the Gemara that haragil b'ner Shabbos lishtadal asus v'im yofeh havilon bonin talmidei chachamim. Person who spends money and effort to make sure that their candles of Shabbos are good, they will have children who are going to be sages, are going to be learned in Torah. Wow, that's pretty amazing. So what else can I do for that? So that's why there's a minhag for women to pray for their children during the candle lighting because of this as well. What happens if a woman wants to have children but does not yet have that blessing? So in that case, she should first of all have even more kavana in this bracha, but also there's a practice that gets recites to say after the candle lighting, the Haftorah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which is the Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph, to the end of the Shir Haschana in the second Perek as well. What materials should the candles be made from? So it's best to have it made from olive oil and the candles and wicks from comb flax or linen or hemp. But what happens if those materials are not available? Any wick and any oil which produce a clean and constant flame is good. What about wax? Wax is completely fine. It serves exactly the same purpose today as well. Let's jump into our second concept, the bracha. There's a special bracha on the lighting of the Shabbos candles. It goes, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kidishonu B'Mitzvosav, Bereshit Yom HaOlam, the universe who commanded us and sanctified us with your commandments, Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, to light the candle of Shabbos. When is this bracha said? So usually a bracha is made over La'asiyasan, before the mitzvah is performed. So if a person is about to hold the lulav, they say the bracha, and then they flip the esrog so that it's in the right position and they fulfill the mitzvah. In this case, there's a little bit of a problem. If a woman were to light to say the bracha, thereby accepting Shabbos, she would not be able to light the candles there afterwards. So you can't say the bracha right before doing the mitzvah. So the practice has become for a woman to light the candles first, cover her eyes, say the bracha, and then reveal the candle so she's enjoying the light properly the first time, rather to saying the bracha, which is a similar expression of over la'asiyasan. She is able to enjoy it right afterwards as well, which is why women cover their eyes for the Shabbos candles bracha. What about on Yom Tov, where one may kindle a fire? So if surely a woman would be able to say the bracha, then light it in the more correct way. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says lo plug, which means no, it's the same way all year round for Shabbos and for Yom Tov to avoid confusion. However, the Mishnah Berurah does cite an opinion that many reverse it for Yom Tov on a weekday, so one would be able to light and then say the bracha and then light, obviously not from a match, from an existing flame, and that would be fine. What about today when there are electric lights all around the house? So this is true even back then. It wasn't that they only had the candelabra of Shabbos. They would have candles, they would have sconces, lamps, oil candles all around the house, gas lamps all around the house, because people needed to have light. So the Kitzur explains that the main candles, the main Shabbos candles, are the ones you light by the table, either on or next to the table. So what one should do is to ensure that all the other candles or lights in today are lit in the house, and the last thing lit is the Shabbos candles. That's the capstone, and the bracha goes on all the light that's in the house as well. One should have intention for that as well. What if the woman lighting needs to drive after candle lighting? So for instance, she has to go to the mikveh on Friday night, or there's a simcha across town. So in that case, she may make a condition and say before she lights, I'm lighting these candles but not accepting Shabbos. Then she says the bracha, or she lights the candle, says the bracha, and then drives, and then she should verbalize accepting Shabbos, the way of saying, Harini Mekabeles Shabbos, I accept Shabbos, in the place that she is, so she specifically accepts the extra part of Shabbos. This obviously assumes that driving is taking place before sunset. Our third concept is, who lights? So who's obligated in the Shabbos candles? Men and women are both equally obligated. So why do women usually light? So in the family setting, usually the man is running off to shul, and the wife is the Akeres Habayis. She's in charge of the house. So she brings in Shabbos by lighting the Shabbos candles. What should the husband do? So he should be involved in setting the candles up for her. And in addition, he should make sure all the rest of the lights in the house, which are set beforehand, are all alight at the right time. So when his wife will light those candles, they'll be the capstone of what he is invested in as well. What if a woman is away or she's bedridden? Well, let's say a man lives by himself. Then he should do the lighting, because a house requires lighting of Shabbos candles as well. What if he needed to do melacha, like driving to shul after candle lighting? So let's say the man is lighting for his wife, because let's say she just had a baby, she's in hospital, he needs to light for the house. So he's lighting the candles, but he needs to drive to mincha afterwards. So in that case, he can also make a condition that his lighting is not considered or constituting a kabbalah Shabbos, an acceptance of Shabbos. But if he forgets to make that condition, he can still drive. And that's because usually the man's accepting of Shabbos is done during davening in Kabbalah Shabbos, but not with the lighting of the candles. And therefore it's seen, even though he lights in this once-off situation, it's not like he's accepting it even without that condition. What else are the prerequisites to candle lighting? So generally speaking, the Kitzur points out that a woman will shower, change, daven mincha before lighting the candles, since the lighting is accepting Shabbos. And there's a special minhag to place the chalas on the table before lighting candles, if possible. What if she's in a time crunch? So it is best for her to skip all these activities to ensure lighting is done before sunset, and not, God forbid, a sofek chilul Shabbos. Once you enter after sunset, you may not light those candles anymore. Let's go into our fourth concept, and that is the place to light. Where is the best place to light? So next, the best place to light is next to the Shabbos table, or on the Shabbos table, where the main oneg Shabbos, the enjoyment of Shabbos, is had around the table, already eating, already being together, already sharing their experiences and thinking together. What if she is in bed and she cannot light at the table? So she may light in her bed and somebody can move them to the Shabbos table as well. What happens if she lit in the sukkah? May she move the candles to the house afterwards? No. It's best to light the candles and leave them in one place. What if I had candles lit from Friday afternoon? Can I just say, oh, those will be my Shabbos candles? No. One needs to switch to extinguish them and light them for Shabbos. This is true also about electricity. If one wants to count the rest of the light in one's house as part of the Shabbos candles, ideally it would be best to switch off the lights one needs, switch them on as a indication for Shabbos, and then go light the Shabbos candles. By that switching them on, that is indicating that one is using them. What about the candles in the or lights in the other rooms? So they are also part of Mr. Shalom Bias, but do not need their own bracha, as we discussed above. What if the husband is staying in a hotel and his wife is lighting at home? So he still needs light in his room, even though she's lighting at home, because his room requires light. What happens if they just won't let him? So then he doesn't need a fire. He can just switch off the necessary lights that he would use and switch them on and say the bracha. The same goes for a person who's in a hospital room as well. They're not going to let you light a fire when there's dangerous equipment that has oxygen tanks nearby. But they will allow you to switch off the bathroom light and the bed lamp and leave those on for Shabbos and say a bracha on those. And you may say a bracha because you don't need fire, you need light. As opposed to, let's say, Hanukkah candles, where you do need fire. What if a person is staying in a place where there are either Jews? So therefore, in that case, the person should pull money together, and one lights on the behalf of everybody else, that area should be lit. What if a person is sleeping at a friend's house, and his wife is at home, and she is lighting candles there? Then he has no need to light. His wife is lighting at home, and his host is lighting in the place where she stays. What about young men who are Bachrim, who are staying away from home? They don't have any spouses who are lighting on their behalf. So if they're in dorms, one person should light on behalf of all of them in the cafeteria, in the chadarach, and they should switch on the lights in their rooms without a bracha. If they're staying in individual houses, and that's the way it used to be in Eastern Europe, that Bachrim would stay at other people's houses, they should be mishtatev perputa, which means they should contribute a nominal amount so that they are invested in the Shabbos candles being lit on their behalf as well. What about a married couple staying at friends? So generally speaking, that the wife would usually light there as well, but the two candles, not only the basic requirement as well, and it should not be on the same candelabra as any of the other guests or the host as well. For just a few basic questions, six miscellaneous questions. Can I place a dish of water under the Shabbos candles to catch the sparks or the flames? No, because that is inevitably going to extinguish, and then it's not allowed to be done, even on Erev Shabbos. Can I place a dish under the Shabbos candles to collect the oil that might drip, or the wax? So I can only do that on Erev Shabbos, on Friday. I cannot do that on Shabbos itself, because that's Mevatel Klimei Echono, because it's going to make, if the oil falls, that oil is mukta, and it's going to make that dish mukta as well. So it's taking away the usage of that dish, which is not allowed to be done. Can I use the oil or the dish once the oil drips on it? Nope, it's mukta if it does fall. But what happens if nothing did fall? So I place the dish there and nothing fell down onto it. May I remove the dish and use it? The answer is yes, because intention does not create mukta as well. Does a blind woman light candles? So if she's married, the husband should light the bracha. If she lives alone, she may light and say a bracha. If she lives with others, if she is the main person, she's the Akeres Abayas, she lights the bracha before all of them, and then they all light. If she's not the Akeres Abayas, she would light after them, but not with a bracha. What if a woman forgot to light Shabbos candles? So if it was Oines, she was beyond her control, then there's no issue. But if it was just she was negligent, she forgot, it was a little mistake, then there is a knas, there is a penalty to light one extra candle than her regular amount for the rest of her life as a part of this as well. A question should be asked in particular circumstances. With this, we conclude the basic outline and framework of the halachos of lighting Shabbos candles. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.